나도 그냥 별로 못 없었어.
So next, eliminating misconceptions about this. So the qualm is that no doubt the generating or cultivating a very strong sense of revulsion towards samsara is something suitable to a person who is aspirant of the personal liberation like Shravakas and Pratigya Buddhas. But it is not relevant for those people like the Mahayana practitioners. Because the Mahayana practitioners, if they generate a very strong sense of revulsion towards samsara, then they will not they'll simply start working for themselves rather than working for others. So there the answer given is that no, it is not true. So the answer given is that despite the bodhisattvas, they're having a very strong sense of revulsion to samsara, for samsara, and yet being enthused by the great love and great compassion, they will keep on working for the benefit of other sentient beings. So it is for the bodhisattvas that despite seeing all the flaws and the shortcomings of samsara, they deliberately assume the birth in samsara to work for the welfare of other beings. So it is not that the bodhisattvas, they assume taking birth in samsara, not because that they see qualities, they are so kind of desirous of taking birth over there, but rather because of the great compassion which leads them to work for the welfare of other beings. Eliminating misconceptions about this, the text reads, third, you may think if you cultivate extreme revulsion and disenchantment due to meditation on cyclic existence, you will fall to the extreme of peace like Shravakas, for you will strongly dislike to re-enter cyclic existence. Therefore, it is becoming for members of the Hinayana to cultivate disenchantment. However, it is inappropriate for bodhisattvas, and that is how it is explained in the Sutra of the Unfathomable Secret, the elimination or the answer. The meaning of statements in scriptures that bodhisattvas are not terrified by the cyclic existence. However, the meaning of the statement that thus the bodhisattvas should not be terrified by cyclic existence is not to point out that he should not get depressed at the suffering of roaming around in conditioned existence under the power of karma and mental afflictions. The suffering of birth, aging, sick, illness, death, and so on. But rather that he should not be afraid of taking rebirth in conditioned existence under the power of the aspirational prayers and compassion due to his mind of enlightenment for the benefit of sentient beings. Next, explanation of how the path leading to liberation is being established. So now, in order to achieve that state of liberation as aspired by the person of mediocre state, so he should then follow, in order to achieve the third noble truth, the truth of cessation of the delusions and the respective karmas, in order to achieve the state of liberation, so one should follow the fourth truth, the truth of the path leading to the cessation. So, the ultimate path, the truth of path, is that wisdom which understands emptiness directly, which has direct, non-conceptual understanding of emptiness. So in order to have that, one has to have the grounding on the training of concentration, single-pointed meditation, And again, to have that, we should have the grounding of the training and ethical discipline. So, so we see then that eventually the very foundation that we should have for to achieve liberation is the ethical discipline. So, in order to actually safeguard one's ethical discipline, so first, the ignorance is actually the first, the main doorway to all the corrupted ethical discipline. So you should know, we should eradicate that ignorance. So that is, you should know as to how to observe the ethical discipline and so forth. And then next, because of the excessive delusions, again, that is the door to transgressing the ethical discipline. So you should make sure that the amount of delusions that one has should be reduced in order to safeguard one's ethical discipline. So with this, we are finished with the part in common to the middle school person. So just as being mentioned here, so it is said that those people who are actually upholding the ethical discipline, and particularly the ethical discipline of the monastic life, so these are considered as the upholders of the Bodhidharma. So it is said that wherever there is the proper observation of the ethical discipline, so the Buddha said that, so the Buddha Shakyamuni, or the Buddha, is actually feeling a less kind of responsibility, less kind of obligation, because there is already a well-established ethical discipline. And it's said that whether or not the Bodhidharma exists is entirely determined by whether or not there is a proper ethical discipline, and specifically the three rituals of the monastic rules. Three rituals in relation to the ethical discipline. If they are maintained well, then the Bodhidharma as well is regarded to have been maintained well. So we leave here.